Well, thank you very much, David. It probably won't come as a surprise that I'm going to say quite a lot of this similar things to what Dieter has just said, but I'll say them in different terms. I'm a sort of practical kind of guy, and I want to try to illustrate some of the what next issues around climate change through two lenses. One is a lens that I have in my role at the University of St Andrews, where I'm responsible for trying to change the business model of the university in such a way as to become a net zero institution. And the second is as co-chair with Nicola Sturgeon of the Scottish Environment Council. And the reason for looking at it through those two lenses is that I think collectively, as institutions across the country, when I say institutions, I mean everything from local authorities to SMEs to large corporates and institutions like universities. Those collectively have to get to net zero if the country is going to get to net zero. So giving you an illustration of what's actually happening inside an institution like a university might help a little bit understand what some of the challenges are. And then secondly, those challenges can be scaled up in such a way that they can be looked at from a national scale. And actually, my experience so far is that there is not a lot of difference between the kind of challenges there are in institutional scale and the kind of challenges at national scale. The results are slightly different, but they do interact. Now, I have a number of slides that I'm going to go through here, and I'm starting with this one because I think this is about the next generation. It's about young people. It's about trying to do something that to help them. And one of the big key learnings I have from working in a university structure is that I'm working alongside students, and they are absolutely passionate about wanting to change things, and much more so than actually I think my generation is. And they are really imaginative, and they're really up for it. And this is just a number of the students that I actually work with at the university. And I said that I think there's an interaction between what happens at an institutional level and at a national level. And I think there are a number of questions we can ask here. And that's what do institutions need to do? What do national governments need to do? And how do they interact? That national governments need to create a policy landscape that is going to allow not just institutions, but individual citizens to actually make the choices that are required in order to be able to get us to net zero. So let me just look at the institutional context, first of all. I've put a graph up here showing the sort of track for an institution. It happens to be the institution that I'm involved with, but it could be any institution towards net zero. And there are a number of messages sitting inside this graphic. And I think the first one is that it's a long track. This is going out to 2035 because that's what strategically the institution involved here, which is the University of St Andrews, has decided to do, is to get to net zero by 2035. But one of the key learnings is that that's really hard work. My institution happens to have got the Institution of the Year Award for a sustainable institution, sustainable university, but it only got that actually not because of the progress it's made, but because actually it's facing up to the realities of what that really means. What I've certainly learned from having done this or been involved in it is that when I hear the talk about net zero, and it is just talk, most of it is greenwash. The reality is getting an institution to net zero is extremely hard work. You need to change the culture of the institution from top to bottom. You need to include scope 3 emissions. This idea that you only get to net zero in scope 1 and scope 2 is a complete fiction. If everybody did that, then we would never get anywhere at all. We need to include scope 3, and that is an ethical requirement. And I can tell you, within a university context, the students absolutely insist on that. So the business model needs to change. And what does that really mean? Well, for a university, that means by 2030, 2040, we've got to be doing things very, very differently from the way we do it at the moment. And the challenge I give to the university core is that actually I think your state's going to be about half the size it is now by 2040. And you have to plan to get there by then. You also have to plan, by the way, to absorb carbon. Just getting carbon out of your inventory is not enough. You are going to have to absorb it. And it's actually sitting in this graph here. It's the brown line at the bottom that comes up to meet the carbon emission line. And a university like St Andrews has to absorb about 40,000 tons of carbon by 2035 if it wants to get to net zero. That is the size of the challenge. The statute of reporting is ineffective. It doesn't really provide any incentive to the universities at all. So it's something that needs to change. And what's more, we have a regulatory playing field that is almost non-existent. So government is not helping. And actually, I've put a quote in here from my assistant, who just in exasperation said that there's a sense from people here that we have to get things right within the institution, but there is no government cavalry coming across the hill. So basically, institutions like the University of St Andrews are not getting the help that they need from government, and that's policy help. So I now want to turn to the national context, where that policy help can be implemented. But the first point I want to make is that I think COP26 asked the wrong question. It asked how can we get greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere down. We will never get greenhouse gas concentration in the atmosphere down unless we reduce consumption, because it's a mass balance problem. The more we consume, the more pollution we create. And part of that pollution is obviously greenhouse gases. This is domestic extraction, but trading extraction is the same overall trends. They are upwards and they're accelerating overall. These are global at the global scale. Material productivity is declining overall. There's increasing evidence of resource exhaustion. I can go into that later on. I know that's disputed, but there is increasing evidence of resource exhaustion. And there's some evidence of declining returns on investment in innovation. So we're paying more to run faster and go backwards, unfortunately. And within that context, in Scotland at least, and I think it's pretty much the same for the UK and probably for the whole of Europe, each person consumes about 18 tons of raw materials a year, and we need to get that below 8 tons in order to become sustainable. Now, that creates a policy problem. It's how do you deal with that is the question. Just extending that slightly, a little bit more, and to be a little bit more pessimistic, this graph comes from the World 3 model, and it's the update from the limits to growth scenarios that were run in the early 1970s, but it's been updated relatively recently. This is the most plausible scenario for the globe looking forward based on the data that we currently exist under those systems dynamic models, showing population change, but also showing resources and showing pollution rising very rapidly, and industrial output falling extremely rapidly, sometime through the 2030s and 2050s. Now, this, I think, can be looked upon as a reasonable worst case scenario. But those of you who have been in government know that you plan for the reasonable worst case scenario. Are we planning for this scenario? Absolutely not. We can say that, well, technological innovation and investment in technology might change this, and it will change it slightly, but not by enough in order to be able to resolve that kind of problem. This is fundamentally saying the same as Dieter said, but in a broader context, in that this isn't just about greenhouse gases, it's about how we manage the resources of the planet and how we reduce pollution at the same time. So within a national context, what do we do about this? Well, the current policy context looks a bit like this. We have a whole load of supply side policies that we love to use. And that's about investing in research and innovation, It's about market solutions, deregulation, it's about subsidy, and that includes fossil fuel subsidies, by the way. And we have a relatively small amount of demand side policies about regulation, fiscal policy, and incentivization. Of course, the illustration that Dieter gave about border controls and things like that are about including certain kinds of demand side policies there. I could go into more detail about what those demand side policies might look like. Obviously, carbon taxes are all part of that. But they are hard to implement, and politicians don't like implementing them, because fundamentally it's about saying to people, well, you want this, but you can't have it, and I'm going to make it difficult for you to have it. But we need to face up to that, and I think that aligns with what Dieter was saying, and we need to balance off the supply side with the demand side policies. It's not a matter of reducing the supply side policies, because actually some of them are very good. It's just that we know we need to balance them up, and we're not doing that. We need to internalize the environmental costs. And what I'm trying to do with the First Minister of Scotland is take us through that journey about what those policy changes might be in order to be able to make that balance happen better. And as a result, provide a better policy framework for institutions like the University of St Andrews, but all the others as well, to be able to contribute to that objective. So what next? Well, I personally think the machinery of government needs to change in order to reflect the size of that challenge. I don't think, and this goes to exactly what Dieter was saying, you know, we have failed actually repeatedly to be able to step up to this challenge. Whether the machinery of government is enough to change this is another matter. Policy innovation is just policy innovation needs to be seen as being just as important as technology innovation. I think we tend to move to technology innovation as our solution, but actually policy innovation is really important, and technology innovation will not work unless we have policy innovation alongside it. And as I've already said, I think we need to have policies that empower institutions and individuals to do the job in a market-based context. Finally, I think we really do need to acknowledge that sustainability is more than just net zero carbon. If we get to 2050 and we get to net zero, I don't think we'll turn around and think we've solved the problem. I think the problem will still be with us, and it'll just be in another form. And I'll leave you with that site, which is the students at the University of St Andrews protesting against what's going on in the world around us at the moment. And I think that we need to do something about it. Thank you very much.